I'm fired up. Neil Gainsburg is here in studio. Last hour, I was fired up about the dog law that didn't pass, that you can still have a dog in your front lap while you go drive around. I'm going to leave that one where it is because I've really riled people up about it. Neil Gainsburg, how you doing, my friend?
Fine, how are you?
I'm riled up about this. I was just talking to you about some issues we had with some healthcare stuff last year, and I feel like it's something that everyone will experience at some point in their life. They're charged too much. There's something confusing that happens. The bills don't make sense. And for a lot of people, they just say, okay, it must be right. They pay it, or maybe they make a quick call. They get some resistance.
And quick call? Try to call your health insurance company. It's never quick.
It's never quick. I was on hold for an hour and a half last year.
Exactly.
And then got the rigmarole. But I guess what the overall takeaway I have here, before we even get into stuff, is you have got to be your biggest advocate for anything like this, right? If there's any weird charge.
Yes. You have to look through your bill, look at your explanation of benefits from your health insurance company, and to see what's going on, try to figure out yourself and make that phone call and try to get somebody on the phone that could help you. And oftentimes it's difficult to talk to people, to explain what's going on, and you're on hold for a while. You have to go to work. You have to deal with your family issues. You have to prioritize something like this, which is not a fun thing to do in your life, in order to get it resolved when it's not resolved or it's not done right.
I think we have an interpretation sometimes that, okay, well, this is what the bill is. They know better than I do. I thought that I was covered 80% in network before my deductible, but, and this only looks like 50%, but maybe they're right. No, they make mistakes, right?
They make mistakes all the time. Yes, a lot of this comes from coding, what the doctor or the medical provider does. When they code stuff, they can code stuff wrong. It also comes from the health insurance, applying the coding to then billing the or paying out on your benefits, and then ultimately the doctor or the healthcare provider not billing you properly from what's been paid and what's not paid, what's out of pocket, what's considered a copay. There's a lot of components that go into there. It's a lot of places where a mistake can be made. I think most of the time there isn't mistakes, but even if there's mistakes 10%, 15% of the time, imagine all of the people that are part of these big health insurance companies. That's a lot of mistakes.
Yeah. For sure. And I feel like sometimes I think that the hospital or the doctor's office and the insurance company, they'll talk it out and figure it out. But no, it's up to you to sometimes coordinate between those two entities to correct a mistake or to get them to figure out where things went wrong.
Right. Yeah. You call your health insurance company and say, oh, it's a coding problem. We'll call the doctor for you. No problem. I'm going to call the doctor. I'm going to call them, in the next hour, if I don't get hold of them, I'll call them, later this week. We'll get that resolved for you, and you don't hear anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's because that person made a call, maybe, and then got voicemail or didn't get a call back, and then they went on to something else.
Right.
And they have a million things to do in their job working for the health insurance company. So then it becomes your burden to just not wait and see if you get a response. You then got to keep calling your health insurance company, calling your doctor's office to make sure it's coded right, make sure that your coverage is the appropriate coverage for the services that you went, the medical treatment you received.
You got to be a squeaky wheel about this stuff.
Yes, all the time. You have to call. And the problem is that when you call a lot of health insurance companies, you're on hold for 20 minutes, half hour.
20, geez, yeah, that'd be a good, great.
45 minutes.
Right?
Who can be on hold for 45 minutes? Who
has?
I mean, it's when you're working during the day, when you have other issues you got to address, just to be on your phone for 45 minutes. There's got to be a way in 2023 with texting, with emails, for them to be able to respond to you appropriately, quickly, efficiently. This is something that needs to be figured out on the health insurance side.
Do we have any legal recourse in these situations? Like, I feel like sometimes it's small potatoes in the grand scheme, right? Maybe, I mean, it's not small potatoes when you're talking about a couple $100, right? But that may not be worth getting a lawyer involved, right? But there's certainly, I mean, is that the recourse? If you're getting no resolution, but you know you're in the right, to weigh that, whether it's worth it to get a lawyer involved in those situations?
You could always get a lawyer, but of course, if your bill is a few $100s, even a few $1,000s, it doesn't make sense to pay for the lawyer fees. Let's say you pay $2,000 on a lawyer to get it resolved, the $2,000 charges, you're basically in the same spot. The Illinois Department of Insurance does regulate health insurance companies. The regulations do not really protect or address the issues we're talking about, but you can call them, you can do an online complaint, so they open up an investigation, and at least that may spark some sort of fire on somebody to look into this, to get it right, to communicate, go to the media too. That's another,
yeah.
Another point. There's a lot of local stations that like to hear about consumer issues and they'll take that up. They'll make phone calls for you. And if
tweet about it,
if there's publicity, then somebody might get that and may want to do something and say, wow, this is happening. And somebody will look into it. It's basically often about somebody at these companies having to actually take the time to address it, to talk to who they need to make sure it's done right. You just got to get somebody's attention.
Yeah.
And you got to do it through a lot of avenues.
I know it seems silly. It's like we shouldn't have to do this, but this is the system we have right now. And until it is fixed, you have to do it. We're getting a lot of texts and calls about it. We're going to take a break here in a moment. Neil Gainsburg, by the way, I bring you on for healthcare stuff from GainsburgLaw.com, by the way. But you do a lot more than that. Just really quickly, people can call you about a lot of different reasons.
Yes,
right?
You do insurance issues. We do personal injury cases if you've been injured in an accident or injured in a motor vehicle accident or something similar. We do that too. First party insurance issues, health insurance issues, as we mentioned before, property damage issues. Basically, we help consumers who have been injured or damaged in some way and need relief against a big corporation or an insurance company. And that's because we do that and help these consumers. Pretty much all my practice, I'm dealing with health insurance, whether somebody's, you know, been injured in an accident and has a claim with a health insurance company, or there's some other homeowner or property casualty that occurred and you're dealing with a property insurance company. So we do help people with insurance all the time.
Yeah, Neil's, you probably wouldn't say this about yourself, but you're like one of the most patient, nice people I know. So you are always down for chatting through something with someone who is stressed about something. You can at least let them know maybe if that's worth a case or not, or at least where they can go next.
Yes, we encourage people to call us and we talk to people and try to give them the best advice if it's not appropriate for us to take the case or they don't need a lawyer for it. But we try to send them in the right direction so they get some help to address the issue. And often, as you said, it's a very stressful issue when dealing with insurance companies.
GainsburgLaw.com, GainsburgLaw.com. I got the number on the website. Is this the one you want people to call?
The best number is 312-600-9585.
Say it one more time for
312-600-9585.
Okay. Our number is 312-981-7200. I'm going to get to some of these texts. We're going to get to some calls that are coming in as well. 312-981-7200. Everybody has a story where they feel like they've been overbilled. Neil will at least explain. Maybe it is legal, right? Maybe there's things that we don't know. Maybe they handled it the wrong way. We can try and get some answers for people because this is a huge problem. Here on Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association on WGN. Neil Gainsburg over there does a lot of things at Gainsburg Law, but we're focusing on crazy healthcare things, and Neil will give just some general information. Obviously, with the calls and the texts, we don't have every single specific here. We'll do our best to give you some general information, and then you can always follow up with Neil afterwards. But I want to go to Karen on line one. Karen, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing okay.
Are you fired up like I am about this?
Well, wait till you hear the gift that I just got in the mail.
Oh, no.
So, yeah. So my husband passed away in the summer of 21.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And from cancer, yeah. Thank you. And prior to that, in beginning of April, we went in for a trial just to see if you know, kind of a last ditch effort.
That would work, right?
And so, well, much to my surprise, I just got a bill in the mail this past week regarding that trial testing day.
So almost 2 years afterwards.
Exactly. Saying I owed $600 and it was a reconfigured or a redoing of a previously submitted, you know, EOB or whatever.
This just happened to me. I was just talking about this. I got one too.
Yep. Recalculated, I should say. And they're looking, and as I study it, it looks like they're saying that we owe it because we hadn't met, you know, the max. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, we spent so much money that year. We more than maxed out our out-of-pocket, you know, coverage and stuff. So am I obligated to pay this? Do I just ignore it? Do I make that phone call that, you know, and be on hold for an hour?
Yeah, well, let's...
How do I handle this?
Yeah, Neil, what do you think?
Well, generally, the bill should be in your husband's name. It should not be a charge to you. Yes. So since your husband, unfortunately, and my condolences to you, has passed on, he doesn't owe the money anymore.
No.
Yes, and if they didn't file a claim with any estate that was set up in a specific time frame, then there should be no debt. You can't You can't bill somebody who's passed on.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't. I think you could legitimately, generally legitimately ignore it as long as they're trying to bill your husband. And unfortunately, you know, he doesn't have the means or there's no legal recourse there for them to go after your husband at this point since it's been that long of time. Right. So I would just throw it away.
Okay.
I mean, and then, so, you know, if they
even
do.
I'm
sorry?
Even though I was the main insurance holder, I mean, the bill definitely came to his name.
Right. No, but
he's the one that had the insurance.
He's the patient. So yeah. They can only charge the patient. They can't charge somebody else but the patient. Now, if they keep calling you, you get another letter, then just call them perhaps and tell them that your husband is deceased and they should close out the account and zero it out based on that fact.
Got it.
So, yeah, you don't owe that because it's a bill that was gone to your husband. So you shouldn't have to worry about that.
That was crazy to open that up. I thought, are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's insane. Now, in their defense, maybe they unfortunately didn't know what ended up happening, and maybe they think, oh, that's a legitimate bill, but like we're saying, no. So I think you can feel happy shredding that one, and then if they call again, you can let them know what's going on. And if there's any other issues, Neil, what's your number again?
312-600-9585. You know, these health insurance companies, they audit all these claims all the time. That's something that they have internal regulations, and that's why these recalculations come, because they audit things and they find out, oh, wow, there's a deductible that hasn't been met. We got to bill this person. So that's one thing that they seem to understand to do to see if they're getting the right benefits provided, but the customer service is not at the same level, unfortunately.
Thanks for the call.
We more than met those deductibles.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yes.
Karen, sorry for your loss. Thanks for the call, okay?
Thank you.
312-981-7200 for yours. That's a good one. This goes to the question that I had about my mom talking about headaches during a wellness visit, which is supposed to be free. So the doctor asked her about her headaches. She talks about it, and all of a sudden she's billed double for it. Someone got billed, the 815, for the blood work associated with a wellness visit. That's interesting because that's part of the wellness visit, right? Where they take your cholesterol and all that. Isn't that included?
That should be. That's very preventative. That's the purpose of going for a wellness visit, is to have your blood tested to make sure your counts are correct, your blood hemoglobin, other stuff like that. Your kidneys are working, everything like that. Then you get from blood testing. So I don't understand how that could ever be billed unless, again, the coding comes. If there's some sort of past issue that involves some sort of chronic, acute complaint about your blood, if there's a high thing, there's an abnormality with your blood, that may be something that could trigger a non-preventative visit. But that's all the coding. That's on the doctors coding this.
So if it was just like, hey, we're doing your blood work as part of your routine physical, that should be part of it, and this person should call. So the person wanted to know, should I call and make sure it's coded right?
Yes. Call about the coding. I don't know if there's some history where they had some sort of issue with a blood test that was abnormal or something like that, that's been the coding that was included in this visit. But should call, be vigilant about getting that billed and coded correctly.
It's the worst, sitting on hold. And I think that I don't want to say they prey on people, but I think that they assume people will not care enough to battle through it. I'm sure they have some tests that they've done where they know how long they can put you on hold to you when you give up. But I am telling you, do not. You have to be your own advocate. We talk about this on Your Money Matters a lot. With financial stuff, you have to be your own advocate. That includes all stuff with health. And you can keep on calling my program, and I'll start making some calls if I need to help you out. Mainly, that's going to be calling Neil.
Call anytime, you know. Don't feel bashful about calling people, calling, you know, what you think you need to do, tweeting, as mentioned before.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. You just got to get somebody on notice that there's an issue here so somebody finally addresses it.
Yeah, for sure.
There's a lot of issues out there. Somebody at a health insurance company or doctor's office has got to light the fire under them to get your issue addressed.
For sure. All right, we're going to take some more calls. We got some more texts after the news here on WGN. You struck a nerve with people here today. John Hanson on Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association till 3. Neil Gainsburg is here until that time. And Neil, before you answer a few more questions, I do just want to remind people, the devil's in the details with a lot of this stuff, right? And what we're saying here is just general information. Obviously, you can follow up with Neil afterwards for very specifics. But generally speaking, 630 wanted to know, I've been charged by the anesthesiologist at a colonoscopy, which is a wellness procedure. Shouldn't anesthesia be part of a wellness procedure? Before you answer it, I want to know, wellness visits are like physicals, and that's all covered, or should be all covered, unless it strays into other areas like we've talked about. there are also wellness procedures as well that should be all covered?
Yes. Wellness procedures like a colonoscopy.
Are mammograms a wellness procedure too?
Mammograms are also a wellness procedure. So other preventative procedures that you're not going in for the procedure because you have a specific health issue or a concern, but you're getting it to prevent you from acquiring a disease or to determine if your overall general health is well. So that's what it is. It's a wellness business. So for this person, if he did or she did get the procedure at a hospital, they should have billed both the doctor and the anesthesiologist and coded it as a preventative procedure, and there should be no charge. So it may be just a simple call again to the health insurance company to make sure that it was coded right. Then the health insurance company will direct you to call the hospital or the billing company to get that change, or they'll help you do that. You just got to be, again, vigilant in terms of getting these people to act on your behalf and getting the problem corrected.
Yeah, vigilant is the word of the day.
Yeah, vigilant.
That's okay. That's fine.
Vigilant is the best
way. If I got corrected with every word I said wrong, I tried to do it in like a polite way there, Neil. Hopefully I didn't step on your toes. Someone also texted in. They're like, I had to do a conference call. So when we're talking about like how you have to be vigilant and move along and you're getting both sides of a story that are contradictory, sometimes you have to be the one to like say, can I get us all on the same call? And they do that sometimes, right?
Yes. I mean, it's just about communication between one big company to another big company. You'd think they'd have easy ways to communicate. They can make a phone call. They have a specific number that they can call. They can get somebody to help you, but it doesn't work that way. These companies have difficulty speaking to each other. So you, as the consumer, as the patient, as the person affected by this, you have to initiate it. You have to get the two companies to talk to each other. And yes, you have to take this into your own hands and do what you can do to get your issue resolved.
A three-way call, like it's 1993.
Exactly. A three-way call, conference call on your phone.
Conference call on your phone.
And most cell phones, thankfully, even, you know, maybe 1993, you didn't have a cell phone, but every cell phone does have conference calls. So use your cell phone. Get that conference call, get the two companies, get people to work. But again, even if you get these two people on the phone, they may not know what to do, or they may say they're going to do it. You got to follow up.
Got to follow up.
Follow up every other day, follow up every week, follow up when you can.
Be a squeaky wheel. Let's go to Cole. He's got kind of a complicated question. Cole, you're on WGN. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
Good, 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 good. Yours is, yours is crazy. Tell us about it.
It's a little complicated, yes. I'm the executor of an estate. The friend of mine asked me to do that for him. He passed in August of 2019.
Okay.
We were aware that there was some hospital liability.
Is it? Can I ask, was this a trust or was this a will? Like, how did that work?
I'm an executor under the terms of a will.
A will, okay. All right.
Yes. We were aware that there were some hospital bills.
Right.
And there were some other liabilities of which we were aware. And so we put together the advice of death, please file a claim letter process, and sent them to what we believe to be the creditors, to the estate.
Mm-hmm.
Not one of them responded.
Okay.
They're, you know, under the terms of that letter and you know, estate law, they're given, I forget, 90 days or whatever to file a claim.
Mm-hmm.
No claims have been filed. This was in September of 2019 when these letters were sent out. Now we are in spring of 2023.
3.5 years later, yeah.
A certain hospital has chimed in and said, yes, this individual owes us $90,000.
And you've already, like, distributed everything else out, right?
Not all of it, no.
But a lot of it. You've started doing that.
Yes. Oh, yes, we have.
And oh, wow.
We're in the process of completing that. We'll have it done this year. It's been a little tricky to find all the legacies.
Of course.
But we've done that. And so we're good there.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, first of all, obviously, they're trying to bill a dead person. They're not billing the estate, but they've tracked the estate down, and they're now claiming we are liable for $90,000. Well, manifestly, we are not. I get that.
Right. Neil, you want to? Yeah, go ahead.
My question is a little more specific, and I guess it would perhaps result in a cautionary tale for others listening, and that is that can they then cancel this debt and send us a 1099 for $90,000?
As income, right? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, Cole, yeah. That is a great question. Neil, I don't know what you're going to be able to dig into here with this one. And Cole, I'll give you the number of a great estate lawyer, too, John and Corinne Heggie at Heggie Walker Law Firm. But Neil, you take this one for what you know so far.
as you indicated, since the decedent has already passed, he doesn't owe any money. There should be no debt for the decedent. In terms of going after the estate, what I understand is if you opened up a probate estate, there's a certain amount of time for creditors to file claims. And so if that time has passed,
Correct. This
creditor should not have any claims against the estate. But you got to look to the terms of the will and talk to an estate attorney definitely about this issue. I'm not sure about the 1099, if they could cancel the debt and then bill the estate or charge the estate income for the cancellation of the debt. That's something that I do not know. But you should talk to an estate attorney, if necessary, an accountant about the 1099 issue. But definitely
Yes. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
But definitely they cannot charge a deceased person, and the time for filing claims has passed.
Yeah.
Well, that obviously has occurred.
Right.
The thing that prompted this question is that there was also a credit card that was, we also sent them a letter in 2019,
mm-hmm.
and there was no response. And now, out of the blue, in January of this year, I got a 1099 from the bank issuing the credit card addressed to the estate.
Oh, my God.
With a cancellation of debt for 10K.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Here's what you're going to do.
I'm fighting that right now.
Yeah, good. I'm glad you're fighting, and you seem like someone who, like me, has a squeaky wheel mindset, and you're going to figure this out. I don't know if you've got a state lawyer, but can I give you one name,
yes,
Cole?
I do.
Yeah, okay,
of
you
course.
Do. If
course.
You ever want to, John and Corinne, they come on the show a lot from Heggie Walkner Law Firm.
I've heard them.
Yeah, they're great.
Yes.
Their number, I'll just read it for everyone, and then a rating can give it to you after the call, 847-272-7360. You've got someone working on it. That's great, too. Never hurts to get them. They do free consultations, too. If you just ever wanted to run it by another person, Corinne and John are great, too. Hey, Cole, thanks for the most complicated question of the day so far. Thank you.
That's sort of what I do, I guess. Thank you.
Right. I love when my two shows come together, Your Money Matters and Let's Get Legal, because the world of law and money, they do fall in line. Okay, Neil, let's take a break. More coming up. But Neil, GainsbergLaw.com, GainsbergLaw.com. Give us the phone number again.
312-600-9585.
And say it one more time.
312-600-9585.
Okay, I was writing that down. 312-660-9585. Our number, 312-981-7200. Any more questions you have about crazy healthcare crud after this on WGN? John Hansen here on Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. I think healthcare law may be the most complicated one of all, Neil Gainsberg. Would you agree?
Yes, I would agree. There's a lot of regulations. There's a lot of laws that you have to be familiar with.
Tax law is also hard, too. But I don't know. Healthcare.
But tax law applies, too, sometimes with healthcare
issues.
That's true. And it's a lot of money issues.
Right.
Money matters on this one as well.
Someone texted in that double billing help happens to everyone. If you ask health questions other than what's allowed within the wellness visit, I blame Medicare for paying double bills. I don't know if it happens to everyone. I think that people can get into that situation. Shouldn't the doctor's office remind people about what they can or can't say before they get billed again beforehand? Shouldn't that be part of this, Neil, too? Like a sign on the wall or something?
Yes, there should be some way that patients or consumers are informed about what type of billing is going to be involved, because that just doesn't happen. The traditional thing with getting billed is you go to the doctor's office, the doctor performs a service, and after the appointment, after the visit, then writes up the bill, codes the bill based on what happened during the visit. So there's nothing that happens before the visit or right after the visit. So the patient just goes in there, gives their health insurance information, their financial information, and goes to the visit and then gets a bill later on. And it's either paid by the health insurance company or it's not. And then you as a patient have a duty to figure out what's going on. But I agree, there is something that should be done in terms of making sure that patients have some notice, some consumer information about how the billing is going to work, and like a billing hotline.
Yeah.
You got a billing problem, let both health insurance and the medical provider should have some sort of hotline out there.
Yeah.
A patient, either through email, online chat, something, not a phone call, so that they could have quick communication about a billing issue.
If nothing else, you hear this conversation, you got your wellness visit coming up, ask the question when you walk in the door, what am I going to get charged for? What am I not going to get charged for? So at least you have that question already on record, I guess you could say, before you walk in. Then you could at least challenge it afterwards, saying, I was told this, maybe win your case. The texter also wanted to know, they were kind of questioning whether the information about colonoscopies was correct, that mammograms are covered, but this one person wondered maybe under Medicare or otherwise, if not colonoscopies at 100%, maybe they had heard something else. I'm looking right now at the Affordable Care Act federal law that requires both private insurers and Medicare to cover the cost of colorectal cancer screening tests because these tests are recommended by the United States Preventive Services Task Force. The law stipulates that there should be no out-of-pocket costs for patients, such as copays or deductibles, for these screening tests. But the definition of a screening test can sometimes be confusing. So I guess that is that the colorectal cancer screenings can start at age 45. It doesn't apply to plans that were in place before 2010, but Medicare should fall under this, right?
Yes, Medicare should definitely fall under this type of screening test and should provide 100% covering for this type of screening test. Now, the issue becomes with private insurers is, again, coding issue. If this is an ongoing health problem, if somebody's gone to the doctor about this issue and maybe they're not at that 45 age level, or they are and they've had a recent test and they want to do a second test, then it becomes not a preventive or a wellness, but more of an addressing a health issue, a chronic or acute health issue. And then it could be coded as something not preventative and not covered 100%. Okay. So that's something you got to address with your doctor. Is this because of a preventive thing to make sure that in the future that I'm doing well, all that stuff? Or is it something because I have an issue right now, current complaint,
right,
current condition. You're doing this, you're coding this, you're billing me for this because I came here and said that I have this
issue.
Pain,
right,
this issue.
So maybe that's where people
and
are.
I didn't want to say rectal pain, but you know,
but there we go.
My rectal pain is bothering me, and it's been bothering me for a few weeks. I've got blood or something like that, not to get more specific.
Yeah,
I apologize about that. But you know,
good.
If you
you're
that
good.
Is not considered preventive, that's the
okay.
key, because that's somebody complaining about a current health issue.
I see.
And the doctor isn't spending his time and effort or her time and effort to address that current issue, and that they could be billed for that service.
So if someone's wondering, oh, I had one and I had to pay for it, what happened? It could be because you had complained about something and it was about that,
right?
Which is still just crazy to me. The 630 says, my primary care doctor has a clear sign in the exam room explaining what is included and not in a wellness exam. That's great. That's good, right?
That's excellent. We hope that all primary care providers should do that. That's something I think that like the American Medical Association recommends stuff like that, but there's no law that imposes or mandates healthcare providers to do that. But they should have something there so people know exactly what to expect from a preventive or wellness visit.
They should have it when you're being weighed in, because you don't want to look at the scale. It should be right at eye level, and the nurse should politely tap on it to remind you, because like there's flyers all over the rooms about different
yes.
things. I'm glad that they have a flyer up. Good. You probably are waiting there for 20 minutes and reading everything on the wall anyways. But they should have it when they weigh you in and tap on the sign and be like, make sure you look at this.
Yes, when you weigh in or when you check in, print it out. I mean, they could just, you know, it might be a piece of paper, or everybody's got apps now. All the health providers have apps. Put some alert on your app. Now, again, maybe people wouldn't notice it because there's so much going on with the apps
right.
and stuff like that. Some way to get somebody's attention. I mean,
yes.
that's all they could do is get people's attention, because, again, the law does not address this. The regulations, health insurance regulations, federal law, state laws, do not really address what the provider has to tell consumers or patients when they come to the office.
Right. If you go into an office from the 630 a week prior to the physical to do draw blood work for lab work, can they charge a copay for this visit? I don't know why you'd go a week beforehand. I don't know. I don't know.
Well, if it's related to preventive visit, if you're going just to get
if they
blood
told
test,
you like, hey,
yeah.
you're going to get this blood test.
Right. This
yeah.
is for your wellness visit, then it shouldn't be. There should be no copays. But if it's because, again, you complained and said, you know, I'm tired or I'm weak or some sort of condition that's requiring you to get a blood test, then it is not considered a wellness visit.
What happens from the 636 area code? What happens when you know you were not supposed to pay for a routine mammogram? And now you're trying to fight it, but then they send it to collections, because that's what they'll do, right? They're just like, I'm not going to fight you anymore. They sell the debt. They're not going to make all that they were going to make, but they just hand it off to a collection agency. What happens then when it's in collections?
Well, the first thing you should do is don't ignore the collection notices, the phone calls. That's something that you need to address. So you should dispute it immediately. Federal law does say that you could dispute a debt within 30 days, and that will sort of stop collection proceedings or stop phone calls. So you should write a letter, email, whatever you could do to say that this is a disputed debt. I did not have to have this debt because it was a wellness or preventive visit. And then again, call the provider, call your health insurance company and see if they could help you resolve it. So maybe the provider will then see, oh, wow, this should have been billed this way, coded right. payment gets made and then it gets withdrawn from collections. But definitely dispute anything with a collection agency, because then that triggers certain rights under the consumer protection laws for collection agencies.
So you got to say, like, I dispute this.
Yes, I dispute it. The law that governs collection agencies says that if you have the right to dispute a debt, and if you dispute a debt, then that sort of like doesn't trigger certain things that collection agencies can do. They could still collect against it. They could still ultimately
decide against you,
and sue you for it or stuff like that. But at least it gives you some sort of protections that they may go back to the hospital, which will then let them investigate the issue.
Okay. Oh, and the person from the blood work ahead of time said so that they have the results at the physical 630 going ahead of time. Yeah, that's wellness. That's definitely wellness.
If you're billed that, if that, then it's coded wrong.
That's also very smart.
100% coded wrong, and you need to call and get that corrected.
Also, more people should do that. Have the blood work ready for the doctor. That makes sense. I should learn from that.
Yes.
We got to go, Neil. I do want to say, and I should have said this from the top, I have nothing against doctors. They do the Lord's work, right? The nurses that are trying their best. Even the insurance people. I think that they are all just part of a system that is really confusing. It may not be nefarious on anyone's part. I think a lot of people are just trying to do their best, but they are overwhelmed because the system is messed up.
I agree. Okay. Doctors are just about patient care, and they want to do patient care and do the best. They don't want to do billing.
Right.
But they're forced to do it because, you know, that's part of the process. But they're doing their best, and the system just needs to be fixed so we can get people to communicate and get bills properly coded.
So
that's the key.
Be vigilant, but be kind while you do it as much as you can be. I know that's a stressful call to make sometimes.
I agree.
Neil, people can reach you at GainsburgLaw.com, or they can give you a call 312-660-9585. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Have a great day.